MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Adam Gottlich. He is head behavioral science for client solutions at Standard Bank. Adam, appreciate the early morning time. Behavioral science, I want to delve into first sort of, I suppose, what it is and how it can play a role in consumer choices. I mean, in essence, we're human beings. We make lots of bad decisions and behavioral science is trying to, almost in a way, nudge, and of course there's a book around that, us to do better financial decisions.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, absolutely. So behavioral science, what it is, it's a multidisciplinary approach to understanding human decision making. Mm-hmm. It draws on insights from neuroscience, cognitive science, psychology, economics, anthropology, to really understand why we behave the way we do and mm-hmm. why we make the choices we make. It's a very scientific pursuit. It draws on a lot of excellent academic research and the applied scientific method to really help discern how to help people make better decisions. But in order to help them make better decisions, you often have to understand the psychology of what stands in the way of those decisions. And those are often referred to as cognitive biases or cognitive bottlenecks.
Yeah, and I mean, those exist. And I mean, they exist in every field. There's probably a heck lot more. I was chatting with someone yesterday. You know, one of the biggest challenges to the investment community, the threats, the competition, for example, is actually scams, because we want to get rich in a hurry. We believe that. And in essence, if we can understand people's processes, their fears, their greeds, their emotions around it, we can kind of guide them and help them to markedly better financial decisions. And the implications then are if we make better financial decisions, we are ultimately better off financially. In other words, we'll have more money, we'll retire better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think understanding those bottlenecks are very important in terms of designing solutions that can overcome them. So you can't paint everybody with the same brush, and every choice environment is different in terms of, you know, what stands in the way of making better decisions. But there's certainly some human universals that we know to be true that really undermine our own, you know, our future utility and our good decision-making strategies. As an example, we typically don't deal well when a lot of choice is presented to us. So when there are a lot of options presented to us, we typically respond with no decision. But in the first place, we actually seek out that amount of choice. So we like choice but hate to choose. We don't save for the future because we are incredibly present biased. Mm-hmm. And that's the manifestation of a decision-making strategy that's thousands and thousands of years old, that's been misapplied into today's sort of complex financial climate. We don't consider all our options. We often choose the default option just because it's the easiest option, not necessarily because it's the best option. And sometimes, and what we've seen a lot in COVID over the past year or so, is people take action not because it's the right thing to do, but to regain a sense of control. And as a result, potentially undermine their own sort of future utility by making a poor decision in the moment. So by using behavioral science, you can absolutely help somebody make a better decision by understanding what's sort of undermining them in the immediate term.
And as financial institutions, Standard Bank and others the world over, I mean, taking this into account is you can actually make better products designed for this. I'm thinking the option one, and I know an experiment that was done at one of the universities in the US where, in terms of their retirement annuity, the 401k, the default was already ticked and you only had two options, yay or nay. And that was trying to sort of guide and steer people to a decision, which truthfully, we're being a bit nanny here, but it's for their own benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a concept within behavioral science. It's called asymmetric paternalism. And basically, it's providing an option of what we think is the best option and nudging people to choose mm-hmm. that option without restricting any of their freedoms. So people can absolutely make whatever decision they want, but we help and try and nudge them towards a better decision. And the study that you're referring to absolutely generated a huge amount of value for people. It's the Save More Tomorrow program, and it's generated billions of dollars worth of savings for over 15 million Americans. And it's because they understood three key bottlenecks. They understood that you needed to really make a commitment to long-term saving mm-hmm. by overcoming present bias. They wanted to create a default option that was easy for you, so there was no friction. And they wanted to reduce loss aversion by making sure that your contributions were tied to salary increases. So there was never sort of any situation where you were out of pocket. So I think financial institutions are seriously investing in behavioral science because it's the ultimate form of customer centricity by considering the human on the end of the experience. And you're seeing it manifest in a number of ways, from the way that we design products to, you know, an increased focus on financial literacy, to making sure that we are more deliberate about the way we communicate with customers, just to make sure that we are being human first and human focused. And especially now as we're becoming more and more digital, I think behavioral science is the way to deliver human experiences digitally.
And at the point, without restricting freedoms, this isn't to restrict someone what they're doing, it's just it's nudging, it's helping them. Adam Gottlich, Head Behavioral Science, Client Solutions, Standard Bank, appreciate the early morning.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now.
With Simon Brown.
On the Money. Also available on podcast.